Okay, so we're moving into Lecha Dodi today. Today's Vod is sponsored by Michael Klein for his father, Reb Reuven Chaim Ben Mordechai, whose yahrzeit is this week. His neshama should have an aliyah. So Lecha Dodi was written by Rav Shlomo Halevi Alkovitz, and he signed his name with the first letter of each paragraph, starting with Shama V'Zachar, through the paragraph of Yamin U'Smol. And it's based on the Gemara that says Reb Chanina would wrap himself in his cloak, and says he went out to shul, Bo v'netei likra Shabbos Malkasa, come let us go and greet the Shabbos queen. And Rabbi Yanai would put on his garment and say, Bo ichala, bo ichala, enter, O bride, enter, O bride. So we say, L'chadodi likras kala p'nei Shabbos nekabla, come my beloved to greet the bride, the Shabbos present, let us welcome. And Rabbi Shimshon Fol Hirsch says, our beloved is Hashem himself, and we're inviting him to join us in ushering in Shabbos. And the Eitz Yosef brings the Medrash that every day of the week has a pair. Sunday has Monday, Tuesday has Wednesday, Thursday has Friday. And Shabbos came to Hashem and said, each day has a pair except for myself. And Hashem replied that Klal Yisrael will be your mate. So every week we greet Shabbos like a chosin awaiting his kala as she comes towards the chuppah. Rabbi Chiel Sparrow tells us that this phrase is based on the Pasuk in Shir Shirim, of L'chadoidi Neitzei Hasada, come my beloved, let us go to the fields. And he asks, he says, why would one go out into the field to greet Shabbos? The field is symbolic of our work week. Why do we choose to greet Shabbos there? And the Sefer Tzora Hamor explains that a Sada, a field, represents an area of freedom. In a field, one is not enclosed by any barriers. So we ask Hashem to free us from the shackles of our gullus, and that when we get to go out to greet Shabbos in the field, we show how we yearn for the Geula when the words of L'chadodi Neitzei Hasada will be actually fulfilled. We then say Shomer V'Zachar, B'dibur Echad, Hishmianu Kelam Yuchad, Hashem Echad, Hishmo Echad, L'shem Ulsferes V'Lasila. That safeguard and remember in a single utterance, the one and only God makes us hear. Hashem is one, His name is one, for renown, for splendor, and for praise. And the Gemara tells us that when Hashem said the Aseres HaDibros, He miraculously caused Klal Yisrael to hear simultaneously both the words Shomer and Zachar. Shomer is the safeguard to avoid Chilul Shabbos, while Zachar is to remember to keep Shabbos in our minds and hearts. And although Zachar is written in the first Aseres HaDibros in Parshas Yisro, and Shomer is written in the second Aseres HaDibros in Parshas Reshchanan, Hashem combined them together, so that Klal Yisrael would know that they are inseparable. And Rabbi Shimshon Fol Hirsch says that to observe the spirit of Shabbos while ignoring its practice, or the opposite, is a travesty. And the question is raised that why then did the author, the Rav Shlomo Alkovitz, switch the order of the words and place Shomer first if Zachar is written in the Torah first? And the Lakutei Mariach says simply it was done just so that he could use his name as an acronym, using the first letter of each stanza, and to do that, he had to switch them so that it would start with a shin. The Baruch Shamar answers that when one gives one a present, and they lose that present, and then they re-give it to them again, you tell them, take better care of this. And Shabbos, as we know, is a present from Hashem. As the Gemara tells us, Hashem said, Matana tova yesh li bebeis ginzai, v'shabbos shmov, ani rotza litna li Yisrael. I have a present in my treasure house, and it's called Shabbos, and I want to give it to Klal Yisrael. But then we had the incident of the Mekoshesh Eitzim, where Tzalavchad was gathering the sticks on Shabbos, and Zumachal Shabbos publicly. And therefore, in the second Dibros, Hashem said to Shomer, be careful with Shabbos, and that's why Shomer is now first. And he brings another explanation based on the Ramban, that Zechira is done really by day, Shmira is done at night. And since we say L'chadodi at night, we list it based on the order that they come into Shabbos, of Shomer being first and then Zachar. Rav Chiel Sparrow says that when Hashem interacts with us, we witness both the happy and the tragic. And we have to understand that no matter what we're witnessing, it's all coming from Hashem, and that everything that He does is really for our good. Unfortunately, we're not on that level to see things in that light. And while intellectually we know it's true, emotionally it is hard to comprehend. And he brings a story. He said once the 10-year-old son of the Sadegar Rebbe heard some Hasidim discussing this question. And he responded, it says, Shomer V'Zachar B'Dibur Echad. We must watch and remember that in every word, in every act of Hashem, is the reality of one. And perhaps, he says, the author plays Shamar first to emphasize that even acts that seem bad are really all coming from Hashem. And continuing with this idea, Rabbi Ruchem Levavitz explains that Hishmiyanu kelam yuchad Hashem echad Hashmo echad, that in Mitzrayim, many of the nisim involved one aspect of nature being turned into another. Water became blood, the mata, the stick, turned into a snake, and these nisim took place because it is what Hashem wished to teach, that it all comes from Him, and it makes no difference what form of nature each object, each subject turned into. So the one and only God made us here, that Hashem is one, and His name is one. It all comes from the same source. Likra Shabbos, L'chu v'nelcha, kihi mekar ha-baracha, merosh mikedem, nesucha, sof ma'asei b'machshava techila. To welcome the Shabbos, come let us go, for it is the source of blessing. From beginning, from antiquity, she was honored, last indeed, but first in thought. And Rechiel Sparrow asks, as we did in L'chu Niranana, it really should say bo, to come, instead of the word L'chu of go. And he brings the Baruch Shammah that taught us that L'chu indicates a sense of zrizus, a sense of doing it with zeal and passion. And it's not enough to just go and greet Shabbos, rather we must go with a vigor and a vivacity. Think how often, no matter what time Shabbos might start, whether it's a winter Friday or a summer Friday, we just stumble into Shabbos. Feeling worn out from everything we've done during the week, we go into Shabbos without preparing ourselves spiritually in any way. We are rushed up to the last second. Shabbos seems to catch us and find us instead of the opposite. We are not ready and certainly not waiting and eagerly anticipating the coming of Shabbos as we should. So the author is telling us, go out with gusto and enthusiastically embrace Shabbos. And how we embrace Shabbos will determine our relationship with the ultimate source of bracha. As Rav Menachem Mendel of Vitebsk would say, we must approach each Shabbos as if this was the first Shabbos there ever was and the last Shabbos there ever will be. The Eitz Yosef brings the Zohar on Kihi Mekar HaBaracha that all of our weekday blessing and successes come as a result of how we treat the Kedusha of Shabbos. And the Tefillah adds the Gemara that whoever brings joy to Shabbos is rewarded with a boundless legacy of bracha. We then say, Sof ma'aseh b'machshava tchila, Shabbos was Hashem's primary purpose of creation. This day of Kedusha was uppermost in Hashem's thought, but it was the final act of creation, as the entire world had to be created first in preparation of Shabbos. And he says, just as one prepares for a challah to go to the chuppah, there's a lot of preparation beforehand. Hashem prepared for Shabbos by creating the first 6 days. Mikdash Melech, Ir Melucha, Kumitzi Mitoch HaHafecha, Rav Lakshevez Be'emekabocha, V'hu Yachmo Olai Chemlo. Sanctuary of the King, City of Royalty, arise and depart from amidst the upheaval. Too long have you dwelled in the Valley of Weeping. He will compassionately show to you compassion. And the author changes the theme of Lichadodi from Shabbos to our longing for the Geula. And the Ian Tefillah explains the connection of Geula to Shabbos with the Gemara that says that Mashiach will come if all of Klal Yisrael would keep two Shabbosos properly. The Paradis Yosef tells us that there are four periods that relate to our future and explains how their order and then how they fit into Lichadodi. He says the four steps will happen in phases. The first stage will be building of the Beis HaMikdash. Following this monumental event will come the second phase, the Kibud Golios, the ingathering of the Golios. And this will happen when all of Klal Yisrael will return from all over the world. The third step is Tchias HaMeisim, reviving the dead. And this will take place when the dead come back to life. And the fourth and final period will be the arrival and revelation of Mashiach ben David and the complete Geula. So he says, we say Mikdash Melech Ir Melucha, which is the rebuilding of Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash. We then say, Kumitzi Mitoch HaAfecha, Rav Lakshevez Be'emek HaBocha, which refers to the ingathering of the Golos, as we tell Klal Yisrael to return from their weeping in exile, and then once back in Eretz Yisrael, V'hu Yachmo Olai Chemlo. And then the last two phrases are really in the next stanza, as we say, Hisnari Mi'afer Kumi, shake off the dust and arise, this is Tchias HaMeisim, those who have been sleeping in the dust will be restored to life, and then the final stage, the coming of Mashiach, of, as we say, Al Yad Ben Yishai Beis Alachmi, Karvel Nafshi Ga'ola. And moving into his narim yafakumi, livshi bigde svartech ami al yad ben yishay beis alachmi, karvel nafshi gola, as we said, shake off your dust and arise, don your splendid clothes, my people, through the son of Yishai from Beis Lechem, draw near to my soul and redeem it. And Rav Avram Grudzinski brings a medrash to explain his narim yafakumi. The medrash tells us that we have to be like a rooster that awakens and cleans itself. That when it starts its day. And Rav Avram adds that if a person would attempt to clean a rooster off, he would accomplish nothing. However, when the rooster cleans itself, it becomes cleansed from all forms of dirt. And he says the same is with us. Every person is responsible to cleanse and purify himself before Hashem, to awaken himself and to do tshuva. And it has to come from within, and in this way, he can accept the Kedusha of Shabbos upon himself. And Rechiel Sparrow says that this is easier said than done. It's hard to change from a life lacking of Kedusha to a life full of Kedusha. But we see from this stanza that one can always strive to improve his ways. The Rebbe Moshe adds that we continue and say, Livshi Bigdei Sefartei Chami, that we're asking that once we shake off our dust, our Averos, that we merit to put on the splendid clothes and be given a chance to do so much more. The Baruch Shammah learns that Hashem is really addressing Yerushalayim. And he's telling Yerushalayim to arise from the dust and to put on the splendid clothes. And what are the splendid clothes? So Yerushalayim Alkibetz tells us it's Ami, it's my people, it's Klal Yisrael. And the Baruch Shammah adds that there's a comma after the word Tifarteich and before the word Ami. And Hashem is telling Yerushalayim she should gather Klal Yisrael inside her borders. And she will be glorified, and then Ben Yishai Mashiach will come and will become drawn close to Hashem and be redeemed. His ori, kiva ori, chumi ori, uri uri, shir daberi, kvod Hashem alayach nigla. Wake up, for your light has come, rise up and shine, awaken, awaken, utter a song, the glory of Hashem is revealed on you. And Shlomo Alkibetz uses a double speech in this stanza, just as Yishai HaNavi does in his nevuos. And the Yalkut on Yishai tells us that Hashem tells Yishai that his nevuos were unique. That all other Nevi'im say Nevuah using simple single prophecies, Nevuah's Pshutos, while the Nevuah's of Yishai are double prophecies, Nevuah's Kefulos. For example, he says, Nachamu, Nachamu, Ami. And in the same way, the author uses double phrases in this stanza. And Rechiel Sparrow asks, why did Yishaya use Nevuah's Kefulos? Why did he prophesy using double prophecy? And the Sefer called Safayach answers, that the Nevuos of Yishai are largely made up of words crafted to comfort Klal Yisrael for the future, in a time when the tragedies and persecutions will be almost too much to bear. On the brink of despair, after having suffered so much, it may be hard to imagine how we will ever get out of Golus. Envisioning this time, Yishai urges us to carry on no matter what, utilizing a double dose of encouragement. He emphasizes with our predicament and recognizes that one effort, one call for help may not be enough. The joy of life will not return with one call. We will need more. We will need tireless effort, love and encouragement in order to rise from the seemingly endless gullus. In order to reignite the spirit and liveliness of Klal Yisrael, Yishaya, and later of Shlomo Alkibetz appeal to us and cry out, Hisori, Hisori, wake up, wake up. Since nothing less than a double jolt will be able to awaken our strength and spirit. And we continue uri uri as we're coaxed out of our pessimism and dejection. We can rise once more. And we need to awaken from our grief, and then we will rise. Lo se voshi, lo se kolmi, matish tochachi, matahemi, bach yechso ane ami, vinivnesayer altila. That do not be ashamed, do not feel humiliated. Why are you downcast? Why are you disconsolate? In you, the afflicted of my people will find shelter, as rebuilt will the city be upon its hilltop. And Rechiel Sparrow asks again that here we're using repetition of the word Sevoshi, Sikolmi, which is ashamed and humiliated, Tishtochachi and Tehemi, downcast and disconsolate. Why does he use this poetic style? And he answers that there's a connection between Shabbos and doubles. The Medrash Shachatov tells us that all dealings of Shabbos revolve around doubles. The portion of the mun was double, its carbon was double, its punishment is described with a double phrase of mechalem, os yumas. We're commanded with shomer and zachar, and we say mizmashir liyom shabbos. So why is the theme of doubles so prevalent on Shabbos? And he brings the Svasemes who says that there's a higher level, what is envisioned in Shemayim, and a lower level of our actions here on earth. And the doubling is the mirror image. One must strive that these actions mirror their potential. And we must not sell ourselves short. Hashem has high hopes and dreams for us. And we need to have those same hopes and dreams for ourselves. Rav Mordechai Gifter Zatzal used to say, no one will ever tell you that you're killing the Ar Samech inside of you. But you will be asked why you cannot be the best that you were destined to be. And Rav Sparrow says that Shabbos is a time when our behavior mirrors the dreams Hashem had for us. During the work week, we're distracted. Our actions may not reflect the beauty of our neshama. But on Shabbos, that can all change. We can be great and become who we're meant to be. We can become ourselves with proper davening, learning, and sanctifying of Shabbos. V'ayulim shisa shosayich v'rachu kol mevalayich yasas alayich elokayich kimsus chasen al kala. They will be trampled. Those who trample you and cast far off will be all who devoured you. Rejoicing you will your God, like the rejoicing of a groom over a bride. And the stanza begins by describing the downfall of our enemies, and then it changes to the joy of a chasen with his kala. And Rechiel Sparrow asks that it should really be the reverse. First, we should discuss our relationship with Hashem, and then the downfall of our enemies. And he brings Rav Tzadik HaKohen, who writes that the first time a letter appears in the Torah, its deeper meaning is rooted in that particular word. And he says the first time the letter Tes is in the Torah, it's written with the word Tov. And the obvious question is how can Tes, which we know stands for the ninth of Av, be a day of good? So he says that the letter Tes is shaped that on its right side, there's an arch that points inward. And this indicates that there's good hidden inside. So if the sadness of the day of Tisha B'Av would cause us to do tshuva, then really it's a source of goodness. And we endure many tragedies, especially at the hands of our enemies that seem so frightening and unbearable. But those tears of pain will become tears of happiness. The fear and misery will become gladness and joy. And if we want to show our relationship with Hashem, if we were writing the stanza, we would have said, Kimsos Kala al Chasan, as a Kala rejoices over her Chasan. However, if Shlomo Alkabitz wrote it the other way, and the Baruch Shammah brings from different sources that a lady is just happy to get married and not be alone and single, while men are much more picky as to who they will marry. So therefore, their simcha, the happiness of the chasen, is much greater than that of a kala. Yomun usmol tefrotzi v'eshem taritzi al yad ben partzi v'nismucha ben agila. Rightward and leftward you shall spread out mightily, you shall extol the might of Hashem through the man descended from Peretz, then we shall be glad and mirthful. And Rechiel Sparrow asks, how come before we referred to Mashiach as Ben Yishai, and now we call him Ben Parzi? And he brings the Gemara which explains why Shevet Yehuda merited royalty. That we say in Hallel, we say, Haisi Yehuda l'kodsho Yisrael mam shalosov. Yehuda became his sanctuary, Yisrael his dominions. And the question is why? And the answer, the kapitel continues, is because Hayom Rav Ayonos, the sea saw and fled. And the Pasuk there is talking to Kriyas Yamsuf when Nachshon ben Aminadav from Shevet Yehuda jumped into the sea, followed by the rest of his Shevet. And it was for this that they received royalty. And we also know that there are two sides in the normal world order, one which finds merit and one which finds faults. The meritorious side is referred to as the Yamin, while the incriminating side is referred to as Smol. However, when we do the will of Hashem, there is no left side. As we said at Yam Suf, Yimincha Hashem the Dari Bakoach, Yimincha Hashem Tiratz Oyev. That Rashi tells us that when Klal Yisrael does the will of Hashem, Hashem's left hand becomes the right. So we're saying Yomunus Maltafrotzi, there's a shake-up in Hashem's running of the world at Kriyas Yam Suf. That instead of a Yamin and Smol, there were really two Yaminim. And then Shevi Yehuda jumped in and fulfilled Ves Hashem Taaritzi. And Yeruchim Levavitz explains the concept of a Maritz, is someone who does complete abandonment of oneself for the sake of Hashem. So we're referring to Nachshon, who was mafkir himself completely. He abandoned his body and life for the sake of Hashem, which is the ultimate extolling of Hashem. And as we know, Peretz received his name because at birth it says, Ma'paratzta alecha Peretz, with what strength you asserted yourself. And he paved the way for all his future generations to be asserters and therefore deserve the monarchy. So we refer to Mashiach as a Ben Parzi, And then very soon we'll be zocher to the coming of Mashiach, and it will be the v'nismacha v'nagila. And the last stanza says, Bo'i v'sholo, materez ba'lo, gam b'simcha v'tzahola, tochemuni am segula, bo'ichala, bo'ichala. Enter in peace, O crown of her husband, even in gladness and good cheer, among the faithful, the treasured nation, enter, O bride. And the v'sherosh ha'avoda says that at this point the Kedusha Shabbos enters, and with it comes the Neshama Yisera. And along with Shabbos, the Shechina comes among us. And for this reason, we face the back of the shul, and we bow at Boichala, Boichala, to welcome the queen as she enters. And therefore, this stanza should be said with intense joy and devotion. Ateres Bala, Shlomo Melech says in Mishle, Eishes Chayil Ateres Bala. A woman of accomplishment is the crown of her husband. And since we know that Shabbos and Klal Yisrael are mates, we refer to Shabbos as the crown of her husband. And since Shabbos is set aside for its Kedusha, a time to learn and daven, that is the crown of her husband. Boichala, the Baruch Shem explains, the reason we say Boichala, Boichala, is to show that extra love for Shabbos. Just as we know when Hashem would call Avram Avram, Yaakov Yaakov, Moshe Moshe, or David, when he called out to Avshalom, he said Bini Bini, and Elisha by Elio called Avi Avi, it's a term of love to use the double Lashon. And Rabbi Chiel Sparrow tells us that the concept of Shalom is often synonymous with Shabbos. As we know, many greet each other on Shabbos with the word Shabbat Shalom. And he asks, why do we welcome the Shabbos Kala to come in peace? And Rav Shimshon Pinkus tells us that Shabbos, there's no mine or yours, there's only his. And all week we're at our home, and both spouses in the home have opinions of how things should get done. But on Shabbos, we become guests at Hashem's table. And as guests, no one fights. There's always peace. And he brings a mashal of two candles that were arguing whose light was brighter. But when they were taken outside, there is no disagreement. So we welcome the Shabbos queen with shalom, that not only that she come in peace, but with peace as well. And as we know, Mishnayis Uksin, it ends, Amar Shimon ben Chalafta lo motza kosh baruch hu kli maksa bracha l'Yisrael el shalom. The only vessel Hashem found that can hold bracha for Klal Yisrael is peace. And we can have all the goodness in the world, but without shalom, we have no way to hold it. And with shalom, we have it all. But without it, we have nothing. So as the Shabbos queen enters, we greet her with hopes of shalom to be able to embrace Shabbos and all its brachos properly. So that ends Lecha Dodi. Just, if we all look in the Siddur, we know there's in the article Siddur, that grayish box, which brings the Hamokom Yenachem Eschem. And as we're about to fully accept Shabbos with the Mizmer Shir, which follows, that anyone who unfortunately is an Oval during that week, at that point comes and joins the Tzibur for davening. And the Nusach in the Siddur that we have, which is based on the Torah, is to say the regular words of consolation, since Shabbos has not yet started officially, and we say, Amokom Yenachem Eschem, Besok Shar Ve'el Tzim, Yerushalayim, that the Omnipresent may console you among the other mourners of Tzion and Yerushalayim. The Mishnah Berurah brings, however, that one really should say, just as we change the Lashon in the Mishnah Berurah for Cholim, we should say Shabbos Hi Milenachem Unechama Krov Lavo, that it's Shabbos now and it's forbidden to offer consolation, but comfort is imminent. And either Nusach is really fine as long as Shabbos has not yet started. However, if Shabbos has already started, it's proper to follow the Lashon of the Mishnah Berurah. And we'll end with the story and homework. So not this past week, but in Parshas Korach, we know Moshe turned to Hashem and said, Al teifen el minchosam, pay no heed to their offering. And the Ramban explains that tefillah, as we know, can be referred to as an offering. And Moshe was begging Hashem not to accept the tefillah of Korach and his followers. And the Bayom Derech asks, why did Moshe have to ask Hashem for that, to reject Korach's tefillah? As the Yerushalmi comments, Korach not only opposed Moshe Rabbeinu, but he was opposing the entire Torah. So why did Moshe even consider that Hashem would accept Korach's tefillah? And he brings the altar of Kelm, that says a tefillah is so powerful that even someone who rejects Torah can have his tefillahs answered if he davens properly, even if his purpose is to challenge the Torah. A person can have no merits, no schusim whatsoever, and yet still receive great blessing through the power of tefillah. And the Medrash tells us that Hashem urges us to take advantage of the opportunity of tefillah while we can. while we're still alive, as he says, Shani notel shochad b'olam hazeh, because I take bribes in this world. Tefillah, the Medrash tells us, is a bribe, and it's used as a bribe that even when we deserve nothing, we can still get everything. And the Torah tells us in Parshas Ve'era that Hashem told Moshe to go to Paro early in the morning by the river to warn him about the upcoming Makkah. And the Medrash Rabbah explains that Paro was going there to daven to be saved from the Makos. And Hashem therefore told Moshe, meet Paro early before he had the chance to daven, because otherwise Paro's tefillos would have been answered. And even cruel Paro could have had his answers tefillos. And the Sefer Chassidim writes that there have been people who have cried and davened to Hashem and were answered despite having no tzchusim. And tefillah can help a person even if a decree was already issued, as the Gemara tells us, that afilu bala chalomos omer la'adam l'macha hu meis al yimna atzom min arachamim. Even if the master of dreams tells a person that he will die the next day, he should still daven for his life to be spared, because tefillah can override any decree. And the only condition, as the Michtav Melio writes, is that the tefillah has to be sincere. It has to come from the bottom of his heart and truly believe that Hashem is the only one who can help him. And he closes with a story. He says there was a boy once who had a certain physical ailment, and he went to many doctors and tried numerous different medications, but nothing worked. Finally, after many years, one of his doctors wanted to try a certain procedure which could be effective in treating the condition. Before undergoing the procedure, the boy went to Rav Elio Lapian to receive a bracha. And Rav Elio told him, he said, first let me teach you how to daven. He said, when you say the words Rifa'enu Hashem v'nei Rafe, emphasize the word Hashem and have in mind that it's only Hashem that can really cure you. And likewise, when you say Hoshienu v'nei Vashaya, you should have in mind that we're only saved if Hashem saves us. That if He heals us, then the healing will be truly effective and permanent. And the boy had this intention while davening, and sure enough, the procedure was successful. So we know that, as we've mentioned, the power of tefillah is extraordinary. And it does not matter who we are, it only matters how we daven sincerely and understand to whom we're davening. And obviously the weekly homework this week is that when we come to Lecha Dodi next Shabbos, and hopefully that will be a Shabbos of Simcha, as we spoke about the coming of the Gula and with facing Shivasa Batama's this Shabbos, but hopefully this will be a happy one, that think about what we're saying with Shabbos, with the Geula, and we'll be Bezer Hashem Bizocha to have the Geula and the Bias of Mashiach.